from the New Testament, Philippians 2, the verses 5 through 11. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. And because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Here ends our scripture reading. May you and I sense God's presence as we seek to understand scripture this very morning. Some time ago, it was also a Palm Sunday, and because he had a cold, 7-year-old little Jimmy needed to stay home from church. Couldn't go. Couldn't wave palms. So when the family returned home, they were carrying several palm branches. And the boy wanted to know why, and Dad tried to explain. He said, "Well, Jimmy, people waved them over Jesus' head as he went by." Thought for a moment, said, "Wouldn't you know it? The one Sunday I couldn't go to church, Jesus shows up." That was little Jimmy. Well, Jesus and his disciples were now entering Jerusalem for the last time before the crucifixion. They were part of the throngs of people moving into Jerusalem for the Passover, singing psalms and songs of joy. And many people recognized Jesus and spread their cloaks and palms on the road, and they started cheering him with shouts like, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, come to think of it, even in those days, this was high praise for a man riding on a donkey. Have you ever wondered what the word Hosanna really means? Well, it's worth researching. In the Aramaic language, closely related to the Hebrew language, that was actually the mother tongue of Jesus, the Aramaic language. And if you look at Hosanna from that perspective, then it is a cry for salvation. So one could say that the crowd was chanting, "Please save! Save us now!" That's one interpretation from the Aramaic language. Now, in the New Testament, originally written in Greek, it has a slightly different meaning. Hosanna means it's a cry of praise, a cry of adoration. The cries of Hosanna were not only exuberant praise, they were also pleas. They were also cries of, "Help us. Help us. Save us. Save us now." And in those days, rough fisher folk accepted and admired Jesus. Also the woman. They followed him wherever he went. Old manuscripts say that he was a most popular figure throughout Palestine in those days. And people enjoyed him. Yeah, they actually enjoyed him. They listened to him. He had a way about him. They listened to him with great delight. And we heard some of them this morning. Jesus had stories to make the kingdom of God real for them. Told them stories. Oh, and how they loved to listen. And obviously, a crowd started gathering around Jesus. And that's not exactly what the ministers of those days liked. If I discover that a bunch of you are down the street and there's a guy with street clothes and he's talking, you're loving him and the pews are empty and you're over there, well, I guess I would say, now what the heck? And this is just my way of saying the religious leaders couldn't take it. They were hopping mad. How could this be? Why are the crowd following him and do not do the things that we've done with our fathers and the fathers before them and the fathers before them? Why? And sometimes when people do not understand something, instead of research, they turn to hatred. They become negative. They say negative things. They do negative things. And that's what happened in those days. They couldn't take it. So their response, let me say, from the church of that those days, from their side, was one of rejection, one of fear, one of hatred, especially when they heard the crowds, the cries. When they realized that the crowd were actually ready to proclaim him something like a king, a great leader, then the hatred intensified. A hatred that would finally culminate on a cross. The Jesus that we know from the Bible was a real hero. He was a man who would get our vote this very day. And it turned out that he was worthy of all the praises that he received. Now, as people in those days were touched, I think, don't know the percentage really, but a huge percentage of us can recall the day when we, 20 centuries later, when we were touched by the man from Nazareth. Many of us have a heart now mended from separation and sin, replaced with an obedience. Oh God, not my will. Let your will be in my life. In this situation, many people, those and in our days, proclaim, my marriage was saved by this man from Nazareth. The love in my home was restored because of him. Helpless alcoholics will show you a hand, their hand, and say, "See, it shakes no more." It was steadied by the merciful love of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Many a life renewed. Oh, and we've seen them through the years. People who once were far away heard the voice, God's voice, in and through Jesus Christ, and many lives were renewed and changed. And if there was time for witness, I think many of you will be able to say, that was the day that Jesus crossed my way. I will never forget it. A life renewed. Maybe that's why we're here today, this morning. That's the reason why we came and are still coming. Can we call Jesus a hero? Well, you've heard it this morning, yes. In many aspects, he was a hero indeed. Shall we call him a martyr? No one suffered like him. We understand what happened in those days. That's true. He was a hero. He was a martyr. But he was far more than that. For us, Jesus is a living Savior for all times. Much later, the highest praise came from the mind and the heart of the Apostle Paul when he writes, because of that obedience of Jesus, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything. So across the world, even today, people are still yearning, hoping, and praying for change, for peace. Many of us have dreams and hopes and plans for the future of our beloved church. And people gather and they say, what can we do? All these beautiful things that we see in worship many times is the product of people who love Jesus and who come with something to proclaim the glory of God. But all this is but a small part of who Jesus was and is, will be. We have a broken world. Early this morning when I saw the Ebola virus is once more active parts of the world. Thousands and thousands are going to die. And we won't say much about it because we're on the better side of the world. We have a place where we can go when we're sick. Millions do not. I can go on. You know that, and you know far more than I do about many of these things. One thing is for sure. This is a restless world. Look at the Ukraine. See what's happening once again in Syria. O Prince of Peace. That's our theme this morning. Prince of Glory. Prince that changes things for us. That's our prayer. O God, see the suffering world, we pray. And that's why we are celebrating the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem for our sake long ago. And that's why we want to wave our palms this morning. Welcome to the Prince of Peace, the one that can take the most hardened heart and change it into a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, the Prince of Peace, wherever the message of Jesus moves, people reach out to others in love, with understanding, with forgiveness. That's why we celebrate once again the entrance of Jesus in, but this time, not into Jerusalem, but the entrance of Jesus into our lives, into our hearts, into our hopes, into our prayers, also in our dreams, as we once again recognize and welcome Jesus as our Prince of Peace, because the message is still resonating through the ages, and in our time we still follow the Prince's call for the coming Kingdom of God. That's why in the development of our faith, we're not thinking of ourselves, oh, I'm going to sit on a cloud and I'm going to play a harp and I'm going to do wonderful things. It has become a yearning far beyond that, far deeper than that. Oh God, let your kingdom come. And that's what Jesus taught us to pray. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And therefore we long for a time when nations will go to war no more. A time when hate will melt away because of the presence of love. I want to conclude with a little comparison, short story. Because history also tells us about another conquering hero from 2,000 years ago. And poets and preachers have often compared two dynamic young men who both died at the same age when they were 33. The one was Jesus of Nazareth. The other one was Alexander the Great. Some of us know the history. Alexander was the king of Macedonia who conquered the entire Persian army in the 4th century before Christ. He was the mightiest ruler of olden times. And this Alexander lived a privileged life. He was a man of great wealth and power. He was a military conqueror. He was nearly invincible. But indeed there came a time when Alexander wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. What happened when he turned 33? Alexander died a hopeless alcoholic at the age of 33. Someone wrote, Jesus and Alexander died at 33. One lived and died for self, the other for you and me. The Greek died upon a throne. The Jew died upon a cross. One's life a triumph seemed, the other but a loss. One walked with mighty men and the other walked alone. One shed the whole world's blood, the other gave his own. Jesus and Alexander died at 33. The Greek died at Babylon, the Jew at Calvary. Alexander declared himself a god. Jesus glorified God. Alexander lived to destroy and rule. Jesus brought new life and a better tomorrow for all. When the Greek died, forever died his throne of swords. When Jesus died, death was conquered forever. So let us not only today celebrate his entry into Jerusalem, but also his presence in our lives, in your life and in mine, now and in the future. So today, as we once more enter a week of passion and remembrance, we do so with a heartfelt faith. It stirs our emotion. It leads us to prayer. Savior. Savior. Like a shepherd, lead us. Let us always seek your favor. Let us always do your will. Jesus Christ, our only Savior, with your love our spirits fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have loved us. Love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you have loved us. Hear us as we now pray. As your people, love us still. Amen.